1, 2, 3. Game on! Game on! It's gaming time! Excellent! Game on! Game on! It's gaming time! Excellent!
About that ages ago.
Oh, hello everybody, here we are, we're back again, podcast. Woo, so much fun. How are we doing?
We're just discussing how we need to change that intro, actually.
What are you talking about? I saw nothing wrong with that intro.
That shocking intro. Absolutely shocking.
It's a good video though.
Two old farts who thought they were funny. And they're dead and gone now. So here we are. Oh, Raven Sky, thanks for the sub. Boo.
It says woo.
Sorry. Woo. But going well, thanks, man. How about you two? You're up?
Yeah, good. I was just thinking, actually, it's going to be a race to see which one of our cameras flicks off first.
That's my timer. That's how I know how much time I got left in the day. Because what is it, 20 minutes, half an hour? And, I go, oh, cool. That's how long we've been going for. And Sticks bringing up the half century with that knock. Look at that. 50 months. Holy crap.
Sticks, you are a menace. You're an absolute menace.
Can't believe it. Have we really been around? Because that's 4 years.
Yeah, man. We've been around that long, that's for sure.
Oh. My God.
And Styx has been here since the very beginning.
What a legend.
Oh.
Beast.
The beast. Definitely a beast. Hey, guys, I got an important question for you. What are you playing? Mm-hmm. What are we playing?
Storm, you want to start?
Yeah, I'm just trying to rack my brain. I've taken a break from Elden Ring to play some Horizon again. Been back on the Apex Legends grind a little. Just making my way through the season pass. And I feel like I'm missing something. The Witcher. I feel like I've been forgetting to mention The Witcher.
Oh, yeah.
Weeks. Yeah. And I haven't played it before. It's really, really, really great so far.
Sorry. So just to clarify, you're playing Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, and The Witcher 3 all at the same time.
Yeah. I didn't really plan it out very well because they're such big games. And I've bitten off more than I can chew, I think. So The Witcher's been probably the most consistent I've been out of all three of them. And it's really enjoyable. I think the first couple of hours I felt there was just so much to take in, not even in terms of the mechanics, but in terms of the inventory, that having, I guess, your different spells and you can, craft oils and items and stuff. It's so complex. But I think now that I've roughly got my head worked around it, I feel like I'm enjoying it a lot more now.
Oh, that's bloody brilliant. Myself, I was playing a game, What Lies in the Multiverse, a nice little indie game there. I was having a lot of fun with that. It's, you get to flick between worlds and just problem solve and puzzle solve that way. It's really cool. Was really liking it. And not all the levels are that sort of a nature. Some of them switch to probably a bit more traditional puzzle solving, with pushing boxes and stuff like that. But yeah, it was good fun and a really good story to go with it as well. Very, very humorous. It starts off very, very humorous, but the story gets more serious as you go through it. So that was really good. What lies in the multiverse? Oh, I wish I could get rid of this tickle.
Listen to this. So I'm just on the website. It says a quote from the developer: I started working on the game as a 19-year-old student in Chile. The hobby spiraled out of control in a good way, and I couldn't be more proud of what lies in the multiverse. It is launching today and on multiple platforms. A true indie dream come true, says developer Vincente Aguilio.
Yeah, I can attest to that. It's really nice. It's a really, really well done game. And I like it's Untold Tales is the publisher of it. And I played another game published by Untold Tales called Aspyr, Ina's Tale. And that was just really beautifully done. And the music in it was such a standout. And What Lies in the Multiverse is a similar sort of thing. Like when you swap between universes and the music changes, like it's still the same tune, but it's subtly different so that you know that you're in a different world. It's really cool. But other than that, still going SWTOR, still playing a bit of Lost Ark.
SWTOR.
I also tried because I like my VR. I've got my Rift S here that I've been playing with again a little bit, and I got this game called Demio, which is like it's a little like Dungeons and Dragons mini figurine one, and I was getting into that, but something's gone wrong with my headset and it's not tracking the controllers properly now, so I have to wait and go through Oculus and see what they're saying about that. So fingers crossed they gets resolved soon, because I'm really keen on that.
I am just trying to find the name of the game that I've been playing, because it's not, I've mucked around a little bit more with Elden Ring, but I have been stuck on a mobile game.
Oh.
And it's a puzzler. Sit tight. I need to go and grab my phone. Hang on. I'll be right back.
Oh, man. Mobile games can really hook you in. I've been a victim of so many mobile games, so I'm really keen to see what Pete's gonna show. Ravensky said, I've been interested in WWE 2K22, but I can't justify the stupid price tag. And apparently Gamma says it's $149.95 for the deluxe edition just to play early access. Like, I don't think we didn't have a WWE last year, did we? Did they?
I can't remember if there was one last year, but 2020 they had that god awful one that just got panned to crap.
I think it was that. I feel like that was the last, because I don't remember there being one last year.
2019 was the last one, really? God, I thought it was 2020 really? That they did one.
There oh, maybe go. I've used the years.
Oh, no, yeah, because of the mess of the 2K21, yeah.
Oh, they skipped 2019 was the last one. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that
Natty
was...
said that Blue has a review coming for WWE.
2022.
So everyone should keep an eye out for that one.
Nice.
More like 2020. Woo, am I right?
Woo!
Okay, I found it. It's called Hyperformer. So Hyperformer, all one word, Hyperformer. And you can get it on the Switch. I'm playing it on mobile. And it's basically you're a lone explorer and you're journeying into it's what they call the Relic Cyberspace Ancient Network. And it's like, it's an artifact of a mysteriously vanished civilization of the past, hoping to reveal the secrets of its masters. But the way that it works is you're this lone sort of explorer and you have puzzles and you've got to use the explorer to whack away. So you can see it on screen now. Whack away all of the blocks that sit around the center of the puzzle. And you're going to go after this thing, but the puzzles get trickier and trickier and trickier, and then they get more elements to them as well. Like, you know, there's certain blocks sitting around the puzzles that block the like, I'll call it the central eye of these things that you're taking on, where you tap them, you know, it'll expand all of the blocks, and then it'll contract all the blocks, and then you get power-ups and stuff so you can double yourself up, and it's really cool. I was just sitting, I was in a doctor's surgery about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, I really want something to play. And it's a purchase one, so I think it cost me about $7 on Play Store. I'm playing it on Android, and I'm really, really impressed with it. And the story's fantastic. The story's really deep, and you get sucked into the mystery very, very early on. So I just find myself quite often just taking my phone out and opening this game and mucking around with it. And as far as puzzles go, like it's easy. It's my favorite type of game. It's easy to learn, hard to master, sort of thing. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, look,
yeah. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very, very cool. I can't even remember how I stumbled across it. I was just going through. I think it was just after a good puzzle game, and it came up, had good reviews. So I was like, okay, I'll give this a crack, and haven't looked back. But yeah, I'm enthralled by the story. So if you're looking for a really good cheap, I was like, because you know how you have your phone, and quite often you pull your phone out, you sort of piss fart around on apps that are just there to waste your time. I'm always opening Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. I don't really want to. I'm just doing it to while away time. So this is a much better way to actually do that. I thoroughly encourage people to grab this game. And it's like I said, it's very cheap. $7 is bloody cheap for a game, especially of this caliber. So go and check it out. Hey, Lucas here.
Lucas.
Hey.
How are you? How is all chat doing? I saw we had a few people talking about what they've been doing for game wise. Like Raven Sky said she's done a Metal Gear Solid marathon up to Metal Gear Solid 4. Raven
Sky, I butchered your name. I'm so sorry.
Did you call her Ravensky?
I did say Ravensky.
You said Ravensky.
I'm sorry, Raven. I'm sorry.
No. Well, I mean, apologize, but also like I made the same mistake. When I saw it for the first time, I was like, Ravensky? You Jewish?
Ravensky.
New York. But, you know, Raven Sky.
Yeah.
What a legend.
That's it. And she's also playing FF14, which is an amazing game, which I also need to get back into playing again because I've done the vanilla release of it, and now I need to play more of it because I was having lots of fun with it.
Has the Wordle fad finished yet? I don't know about you guys, but like, I think the only person I know that's still going with Wordle is my mum. But there is a really cool one for people who love music called Hurdle. And it plays like very small snippets of the beginning of a song. And my friends sent me today's one because I haven't been like constantly going with it just yet. But they're all very disappointed in me that I didn't get today's Hurdle. So it's just Heard and then L-L-E. So if you like music, you might like that one instead.
There's also Quirtle.
Oh, is that the four word
grids?
That one, the grid, yeah.
Yeah. And you have to play like regular Wordle, and each one operates independently of the other, but they all move at the same time. So you have to kind of like figure it out along the way. It's good. Like I can do it. I've managed to knock it over a couple of times. It's doable, but if you're looking for a challenge over just sort of standard Wordle.
I don't know if you guys remember, this was like weeks and weeks, well, probably I want to say a month or so ago, because I was on like a really big streak. I'm talking about like almost a month of my Wordle.
I saw you tweet this, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was like, it was one of the days, I think the word was something like shake, but because I got everything but one letter in the word for the whole thing and it ruined it and I haven't touched it since. I've been really, really upset over it and I can't bring myself to go back. I was so disappointed in myself.
Go back, mate.
I haven't seen Dan the Internet post his stuff recently. That's the other guy in the intro video for those that don't know. But like, because he was on like a 50-day streak or something as well with that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. So I don't know if he's still going or if he's lost or if he's just not posting.
Yeah. Or if he got to the half century and went, yep, that's it. I'm done retiring. See you later.
I think I might keep going with the music one though.
Yeah, the music one's interesting. I'm keen to see that one. Yeah.
That sounds like a dirty segue into some sort of music-based.
Yeah, well, there has been some music. And it's a rather interesting one for me. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Bandcamp. It's this small, well, it's not small, but it's more sort of a small development team, sort of almost indie-like, where musicians can go and sell their music and advertise themselves really cheap. Well, not cheaply, but, you know, not as much as what it costs on other platforms. Because I was doing a bit of a look before the show, and apparently for digital items that you sell on Bandcamp, the site takes 15%, and for physical stuff, they take 10%. And I think there's some merchant fees in there as well. And it's really well regarded in the community for musicians about where they can go to sell their music and get some pretty good rates. Because, you know, Spotify pays you cents per stream. It is almost like, unless you're huge and you're getting millions of plays, it's almost not worth it. But Epic has bought Bandcamp, and this is Epic that makes Fortnite. Like, they bought Bandcamp, and it seems like a bit of an odd buy to me. But then I remembered that last year in November, they also bought Harmonix, which are the makers of Rock Band. So that's like the guitar, next Guitar Hero in line sort of thing. Even though Guitar Heroes died, Rock Band 4 is still sort of going with some stuff and whatnot there. And when Epic bought Harmonix, they said they specifically bought it to develop musical journeys and gameplay in Fortnite. So that got me thinking about what they could actually be moving towards in there, especially with this acquisition of Bandcamp now. I've been racking my brain because, I mean, they do the concerts and everything in Fortnite, but I don't see how they'll take Bandcamp and Harmonix and work out how that fits into Fortnite, you know?
Well, I see it. I actually see it as a very clever acquisition if you're buying Harmonix. I mean, because if you've purchased Harmonix, you've purchased a game that, you know, you've purchased an organization that creates games, you know, like Rock Band and Dance Central and, you know, Harmonix Music VR and so on and so forth. I mean, you need a library, right? You need an ever-growing library and catalog of things that you can use to keep up. And there's a fair old chance that they've sort of read the play and gone, Spotify to a degree owns a shit ton of music, and maybe there's been stuff that's been going on behind closed doors where they've been working with Spotify and saying, hey, we want to use some of your artists, or they've been working with Apple, we want to use some, or, you know, so on and so forth. Maybe it's just become a much better option for them to purchase a platform like Bandcamp where these artists are already uploading their creative works. And then that way, you know, two things happen. One, they get the drop on new artists emerging. And if those songs and those artists take off, then A, they're making a bit of moolah on the side from, you know, taking their cut from owning Bandcamp. But also, you know, they're the ones that have the opportunity to be first to use that growth, or first to use one of those stars taking off, whether it's bringing it to Fortnite or so on and so forth. The other thing is the library of artists and songs and all that sort of stuff. If you own Bandcamp and if that's where they're placing it, I've never used Bandcamp before, haven't read too much into it, but if the point of Bandcamp is, hey, I'm an artist, I'm going to put my stuff up here, there's got to be somewhere in the terms and conditions where essentially you're giving some sort of licensing to the Bandcamp platform, then maybe that's their opportunity to go, okay, we're going to be able to actually use this entire library and put it into Harmonix and draw from there for content. I mean, I think it's lovely. I think it's a great play. I think the thing that we've seen time and again from, you know, from them considering they own Fortnite is that they're constantly doing work in this sort of metaverse-y type space. You know, they're the ones who've put on the concerts inside the game. Now, imagine, like, I can honestly imagine looking at the front page of Bandcamp. Like, this to me looks like a, like if you're promoting to a young demographic, right, who are so across new artists and new bands and new songs that are coming through. If you're marketing to them, this to me looks like a promoter's dream. You know what I mean? Like, this is where you're going to find those gems. And then to be able to go, okay, we've got Bandcamp, we've got all these artists. Maybe what we're going to do is we're going to put on a mega concert in Fortnite, or we're going to announce a concert series or something like that. And then all of a sudden, you don't have to go to Jay-Z, pay him a shit ton to get him into the game, or, you know, all the others. I think we're seeing the groundwork for a much larger in-game events style play. And it could even be sort of their nod to how they might approach Metaverse if they get into Metaverse. I mean, the Fortnite platform, the way they've been using it, it very much feels to me like it could fit in to the Metaverse down the track, which a lot of companies are starting to really look into, you know. So, yeah, I think it's a clever play.
Yeah, I still don't know where they're going with it, because, you know, they said they do concerts in there at the moment, but that's fine. They can do that now with the technology they've got, and it's basically just a pre-recorded thing, or maybe they're doing live motion capture sort of stuff, which is really cool, but it's not something the Bandcamp needs to be involved in.
I think it's having access to artists, right? So if Bandcamp's a platform where, you know, if you're an artist, you can upload your stuff there and get yourself supported, then you're probably licensing some of your content to Bandcamp. So I think for me, it's more a case of like an acquisition like this is their defense against the artists and stuff becoming a lot more savvy around how their music is licensed and how they protect it and how much it's worth. So, and I'm talking about the bigger players, you know, like a Cardi B or a U2 or yeah. something like
but
that.
Like that. Bandcamp's not for those people. It's for indie artists that are still breaking out.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think this is why I think it's such a clever play, because you get first bite of the cherry. You know what I mean? Like, as a company, you're not waiting for, you're not going over to Jay-Z to pay him, you know, like, hey, can you come into our game for $10 million, please? Like, you've got, like, we, so take it where, what's it called? Who runs Fortnite? Epic. So we're Epic. Guys, we've bought Bandcamp. Okay, let's have a good look at Bandcamp. Let's have a good look at who's taking off. All right. Geez, guys, looking at our analytics in the back end of our brand new platform, Bandcamp, there's this group called Super Furry Animals, and they've got this single called Of No Fixed Identity. They're taking off. Okay, we own some of the license to those guys. Let's drag them into the game. Let's do a concert around them. So, and then you're achieving two things, right? You're getting them for cheap because you own Bandcamp. But the other thing that you're doing is, if all of these people are your artists because you own the platform, then you can cherry pick them and put them on your Fortnite platform to millions upon millions upon millions of people and immediately rocket them up the charts. Like, you've got this incredible influence over these artists and these bands, right? Because you already own the Fortnite platform. So you can cherry pick, like, there's Impact here. Let's grab Impact, guys. Impact is the one we're going to feature this week. We're going to do a concert in Fortnite, and we're going to do it for Impact. Impact, you're playing this week. Mate, from here, you're going to be a star because you've just played to tens of millions of Fortnite players around the world who are going to go after your music. And then they're taking a cut off the top. I think it's great. I think it's smart. Really
interesting direction, because kind of going off like last week, was it last week's chart? We're talking about all the celebrities and the big names that Epic's brought in. If they are going to do what Pete's proposing, I think that could be a really fantastic platform for those creators on Bandcamp to really step off of and hopefully launch a big further career off of that. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting acquisition.
Yeah, I kind of, I get what you're saying there, Pete, but I don't, like, the reason why, was it Ariana Grande, would, like, she had a skin, and I think she did a concert in there, and, you know, the reason why those work is because they're big names. They're big names that people want to see, and the Bandcamp artists are going to be very niche, and to the point that, because Bandcamp is seen so well in the music community, that I think if you sudden, like, because I don't think in the moment in their terms and conditions that Bandcamp have any ownership over their music at all. So I or if they do, it's very, very minimal and they don't exercise. And that's what draws musicians to it, is that they still own their own music and they don't not dealing with a money hungry company. So, and the fact that if Epic buys it and changes the terms and conditions, say, by the way, now we own your music, I think that's going to just kill the user base on it. And if even if there's the people there that are okay with that and they want to be in these Fortnite concerts, they will, I don't think like a little indie artist is going to have the same, well, it's definitely not going to have the same impact as someone big. So I'm not sure if they'll have the 10 million people seeing them. So I don't think that's the way this acquisition is going to go for Epic. I think there's something else here that they've got in mind that we're not seeing. And I think it's going to come into play with the Harmonix purchase as well. And yeah, just to see how they actually do that in Fortnite is going to be interesting, and whether they're building a new game mode that maybe has some of that in and is music oriented. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be in game concerts.
So I'm just looking under I'm just looking through their terms of use, and under intellectual property rights for artists, it states here, each artist uploading music to the service grants company, which would be Bandcamp, and its authorized sub-licensees and distributors, if any, the worldwide, non-exclusive, royalty-free right and license to reproduce, distribute, publicly perform, including on a through-to-the-audience basis and by means of a digital audio transmission, publicly display, create derivative, works of,
yeah.
It says here derivative. I've never seen that. D-E-R-I-V-A-T-E. I've never seen that word before. Derivative works of, communicate to the public, synchronize and otherwise exploit, collectively exploit. The artist's music can perform the service on the artist's behalf. For example, reproduce, transcode, copy and store the artist's music on computer servers owned and or operated by. Okay. So there's a lot of legal jargon in here that essentially gives Bandcamp free use over anybody that uploads their music to this site. Now, one thing that they've also done here, right, is that being a games developer, you know, one of the key components of the game is music. So by rights, this may very well give them license to take any music from any artist on the Bandcamp platform and put it into their games.
Yeah. Which worries
for sound-
me.
And so on, yeah, and so forth.
Yeah, I stand corrected on that point. That's fine. So Bandcamp does have some licensing of the music, but yeah, it worries me. I'm just thinking, if I was a user on that site and I'd uploaded my music for a chance to try and sell it, and now there's a chance that some big games publisher and maker can now use that music free of charge in their games. That's a big red flag to me, and I would be pulling my music off Bandcamp right now.
Yeah, but what I would expect is that this is in their terms and conditions, that, you know, if you're on here, by the way, you're licensing our music to you.
Which is fine if it's Bandcamp, because Bandcamp's a music platform. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to use the music to advertise the platform and whatnot. But now you're saying that this could be one of these songs on Bandcamp could be the theme song to Fortnite and be played millions and millions and millions of times, and they're not going to get any royalties for that now.
I'm not saying that, though. What I would expect is that there would be a commercial contract in place. So if they were to go ahead and do that, they would pay them fair licensing.
But that that assumes that because now that Epic owns Bandcamp, according to, like, I would hazard a guess that with those terms and conditions that you read out a little while ago, that it means that Epic now has rights to use all that music and they don't have to pay them.
Absolutely, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they would.
It doesn't. But so, I don't trust big companies. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, look, and none of us do. But in 2022, when we've just seen what we've seen with bloody, what's that company that we don't want to talk about? With an A.
Yeah, the computer company that we're not going to mention, we're going to mention them in a little bit. Yeah.
When we've just seen the absolute PR disaster from them off the back of a very small at the time, exploded now, but very small at the time, Twitch streamer who just happened to catch fire because of what happened. I don't think that I think they'd be too clever to do something fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, it is one of those things where, like, for me, the point is not that they have that ownership over the content, because at the end of the day, if you use a platform, you're giving us using Twitch, we don't own this content. Like, Twitch owns the content, right? And any platform you use, they own the content. But, you know, a special few. But for me, what it does is it gives them rights to first refusal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important as a company whose core product is entertainment. Because ultimately, this is entertainment.
Yeah, I also think there's still something that we haven't thought of that's gonna come out of the woodwork there that they're working on, because none of that really hooks in with Harmonix, and I still think that Harmonix are going to be involved in whatever they end up doing with Bandcamp. But Charlie Golf, thank you so much. 2 month sub from Charlie Golf there.
Hey, buddy.
Woo. But yeah, just getting back to a point with that company we're not going to mention because we don't want to give them the airspace, that PC company. So last week we talked about it. We talked about it on the weekly show. We talked about it on Streamaholics on Friday night as well. The PC company that had an affiliate giveaway and then decided not to give away the PC because the streamer was too small. And there was a whole shit ton of crap that came out of that. Today they've posted on Twitter that, I'm going to just read this out word for word. We are sad to announce that effective now we are freezing/suspending all activities. Ongoing is analysis by outside counsel for reorg to ensure fair treatment of clients, creditors, and employees. We expect more info by month's end. We are open to assistance/investment. Look, I'm going to say I'm sorry for the employees, but I'm not sorry for that company. That company and their CEO deserve what they get.
I don't think they would have anticipated just how, like what Pete said, like it absolutely caught fire. Like once it made the rounds on social media, as things do, to get to the level that it did. I was just going to add to that and say that here, Pestilli, who I was referring to a lot on Streamaholics, they were with this said company. And after they tweeted that, Pestilli said, and this is like straight quote here, "Saddens me to see the actions of company. CEO has led to the loss of jobs for an entire company. My hope is anyone who paid for any products not yet delivered have their orders honored or refunded. I'm awaiting news of 12 still pending PCs I paid for as giveaway prizes."
That's a lot of PCs.
One person. This is one person.
Sorry, can I just dive in really quickly and just tell you guys that Haughty Chicken just raided the hell out of the stream?
Haughty Chicken!
Oh, no!
Not only did she raid, she subbed as well. Oh,
and,
what a legend.
And that shows. Oh no, your camera's coming soon, Pete.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Guys, if you're not following Haughty Chicken already, go give her a follow. A legend of the streaming community here in Oz. Definitely deserves your love.
Haughty, I love you.
Love you, Haughty. Gamma beat me to the shout out. Well done, Gam. On it.
Well, chicken dance. Still pending PCs. I paid for that giveaway.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. 12 PCs. That's a lot.
And that's just one person. This is just one person that's been like a victim of the events of everything that's been happening. It's not great. But I think again, kind of going off the back of what I was saying last week about them, I think it definitely goes to show like what power we have as fellow gaming community members have to do with, you know, making these companies and brands accountable for their actions. So, really, really interesting to see the development of this since we last spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also add as well, since actually it's been a little while, it's been longer than just today, but all the old tweets like the apology video, the thread, I think that the CEO had tweeted in regards to the giveaway, like fresh off, like having done the giveaway and starting to get that first lock of backlash, all gone from the Twitter account as well. And as well as that, I'm not sure if you mentioned this already straight, on March the 6th, that said, same company said in quotes, "At this point, we are examining a potential employee-led buyout of the company. Thank you for your support." And that's it.
Mm.
So, yep.
I should also mention as well, this latest tweet, they've said it to so that only people that company have mentioned can reply to it. So nobody can comment on it at all, which is not surprising. Yeah. They're sounding dodgy as hell.
If they're getting outside counsel for reorganization, then the first thing that council would have said is anything that you guys want to post on Twitter or social media or anything that you want has to pass through us.
Yeah.
And there would be no responses, none whatsoever, no replies, thank you very much. Because they just don't – the last thing they want to do – because I would dare say between the employees, the clients – creditors aside, creditors will be sorted out, but between the employees, the clients and stock on hand, it'd probably be a fair bit of money, and potential like support, like there'd be a fair bit of money and unfortunate people in the process of this going to shit. And you know, like at the heart of it, like it's probably worth saving, like, you know, what they should do is they should get rid of the CEO, which has probably already happened. Mm-hmm. Piss him off. Piss off whoever was in that stream as well. Do a fine and thorough combing of the company to unearth any more shit and then relaunch.
Mm.
Because there's probably enough stuff to salvage there. And under, you know, new people, it could probably be very good. But just so happens that that bloke was a dickhead.
Yep. It'd probably be almost easier just to find somebody that's going to take over and sell the assets to them and just wind down the other company. Because that name is mud now. Even if you get new leadership in, everybody's going to go, oh, they're the people that did that, and then they're not going to buy from them.
Yeah, just a massive overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
What they need to do is put a moustache over the logo. We're not artesian built.
So I can't even think of another name for that.
We're Monsieur Artisano Buildos.
Mm. Yeah.
Hello to Doormat _ live, who's appeared in chat for the first time. Lovely to have you.
Hi, Doormat.
Tell you what, you know what isn't dodgy? And what? I was very, very excited to see this. PAX is coming back. Yes, PAX. But I almost expected you to have your Camp PAX jacket on there, Pete, but it must be a little bit warm for you.
Oh, it's bloody warm, mate. I'm sweating like a pig. I'm not. I don't know if you can see like a little bit of – you can see some shine on my head. Mm. And just to get some air coming through, I've like got the garage door open here, but nothing's coming through. Can I acknowledge what Charlie Golfer said, by the way, that seg? Like, your seg work has been insane.
Oh, mate, so. I've been working really hard on it. Like, you have no idea. Like, I get all the I get the stories together, like, on the Wednesday, because I have Wednesday off from my day job. So, like, I spend the afternoon, I got that story. And then I spend longer than I care to admit going, well, that's how I can get to that story. And yeah. But it's good. I'm glad my segues are being noticed.
Horty, it's 32 degrees outside, but it's the surface of the sun in my garage. Just because in here I have a angle fridge freezer, I've got a fridge, and I've got the power unit for our solar system on the roof, and then of course there's the PC, and there's also a heap of equipment that I'm running out of the Mix 94.5 studio because in case we get hit by COVID and have to broadcast from home. So hut in the city, hut. Sorry, Stormy, go on.
No, I was going to ask you guys and ask the chat, does anyone plan on going to PAX this year?
I am. I want to go. I'm going to try.
I would really like to. I've never been to PAX before. And I have plenty of people I know from the Eastern States as well that I would love to meet there as well. But we should all just go on a big road trip.
Hell yeah.
That's a great idea.
We'll go through Adelaide and pick Natty up. Yeah.
God, imagine that, like a Goa bus from Perth.
Goa bus.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be
huge.
I'll be the vlogger. I'll vlog it.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Fuck, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I really love to go. I hear nothing but good things about PAX.
I booked tickets to go to my first PAX last year. And I was so devo when it got cancelled. Not surprising the way things were going, but just so devo. Like, even at the time, like, getting in and out of WA would have been a pain in the backside as well. And it's so great to see it coming back, see it and be there live. Like, I'm just really, really hope I get tickets.
Yeah, they haven't said anything about tickets yet, right? They've only just announced.
I don't think so. They said they're announcing something in the next couple of days, I think, for when tickets are going on sale. So all they've done at the moment is just announce the dates, which is 7th to the 9th of October.
Plenty of time to save up.
Yep, that's it.
I just want to respond to Styx, who was up.
I was about to ask you about that.
Hey, didn't you crash a bus last time you did a road trip to Melbourne for the grand final? Now, I didn't crash it. It was my co-host, and it was not a bus. It was a caravan on wheels. But correction. Yes, we did. And you know what? It wasn't our fault because the sign sort of jumped out at us. Because let me explain to you guys what happened. So we did a road trip for the radio show I was on a couple of years ago from Perth over to Victoria for the grand final. And we stopped in this town. I can't remember what town it was, but the way the road was shaped, it's concave, right? It was concave. So it was high in the middle and then dipped over to the edges. So we saw a cafe. We're like, let's stop for the cafe. And then he turns in and we feel the caravan like dip into this concave part. And then you just hear, bang! And he's completely taken the awning off. So it's hit the awning. So there was an awning where you could pull it out and you've got shade. Oh. He's hit that, bang, gone. And we had to gaffer tape it. And we were probably about 3/4 of the way there.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, yes, Raven, no. Scott, the sign did jump out. But I'm very, very keen to get over there. Very keen for a Goa crew to get over there as well. I've already checked the dates because I was meant to MC a wedding around that time, and I almost cried yesterday because my wife was like, "Oh, that's your cousin's wedding you're MCing that weekend," and I was like, "Please double check, please double check,
please, no,
please, oh God, no." No, because I would have felt terrible telling them that I wouldn't be able to MC their wedding because I had to go to PAX.
There we go.
Ah, God. So, yeah, no, I think it'll be very exciting. And I think this will be huge. This one will be so big. Not so much because you know, it's PAX and they're going to put on a big show, which you expect them to do, but because the like as many people as we know across the network of games and creators and stuff across Australia have been fanging for more than 2 years now for PAX to come back. And so you just know that it's going to be one giant party. Like, you know, in the third Matrix, where they have that giant party the night before the robots come in and invade?
The big rave in the cave.
Big rave. That's how I imagine it's going to be. It's going to be like that. It's going to be absolutely...
My God, Fortress Melbourne crazy. And GG Easy Bar are going to be going off.
Oh, nuts. And you know you're going to see? You're going to see Haughty Chicken on somebody's shoulders right in the middle of it.
Bloody oath.
Bananas. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be glorious.
I want to say as well, and I'm not just saying this either, because like I've found, especially in the last couple of years, I've been creating on my own, like before I met any of you guys and stuff. I was finding my way in the gaming community, and I reckon I would have just started right when PAX couldn't run. Like, I don't think there's been a PAX as long as I've been online for. And I've met so many people, not even just in WA now, even more so now that I'm with Goa, but just more people in the gaming community network online who are all the way over in Eastern States. And it's just going to be such an amazing opportunity to be able to finally get to meet those people. It's just, oh, and don't get me wrong. I love Perth, but we're just so far away from all this fun stuff like PAX.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Natty, and you get a rat test, and you get a rat test. I'll take them all if it means I have to go.
That's it. I've got my 5-pack here already, and I've logged because I bought them, and then I've registered for the free ones the WA government are giving away.
Oh, Haughty Chicken says, so cat's out the bag with my community. We are heading over. I can't wait to see you all.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Woo!
So amazing. Cool.
I'm going to give you a big COVID-safe hug. Audie.
Lots of COVID, fist bumps.
Big COVID-safe squeeze.
Is it? Because I think that was the thing I was looking forward to most. In fact, I think the person I was most excited about meeting was Rossi. Like, he started off streaming on one of our quarantinement streams a couple of years ago. And that was his first stream ever. And he's just such a nice, loving guy that I just was so pumped to meet him. And now hopefully we'll both get tickets again and we'll go meet up.
Rossi's a ripper.
Yeah.
I think,
sorry.
You go, Stormy. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I think the really tricky part with PAX, I think this year amongst anything else, will be getting tickets because I'm sure everyone is going to have the same idea. So this is going to be quite interesting.
I am... very much looking forward to bumping into Hex because, with the last time I went, like I saw her, met her, said hello, but we didn't know each other. So, you know, it was just a quick chat, off you go. We know each other quite well now. So it'll be actually interesting, like being able to actually catch up her, like, you know, the Back Pocket crew, her, Nick Boy, Pierrette, they're just such an awesome bunch of people. It's just going to be, it's going to be sick. Catching up with them, catching up with a heap of the esports crew.
Mm. Oh.
Maybe Rogue Sultana, because she's, I think, if not Melbourne, 100. Then somewhere around there. She's one of the Goa crew from a while back. And maybe even Menthonzo will get to come down from Sydney.
Oh, Menthi.
Yeah.
And Raven Scott have to stay with Goa crew. We'll get a Goa house. Get Goa house.
Yep, that's
a Goa house.
Goa Airbnb. House. Nice.
Yeah, Goa house.
I think it wasn't too bad. Like when I bought my flights and tickets last time from Perth, which is about as far as you're going to come for one of these things, I think I got like 5 nights accommodation and return airfares for like $700.
Jesus, that's amazing.
But yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
All right, mate, we got 7 minutes. You got any more segues for us?
You know what's not so great
is,
is paying for games that you've already paid for.
Really?
Yes. Ha, gotcha. You thought you were going to try and throw me under the bus then, didn't you? But I had one there. I was ready. I was ready.
I had fun. Yeah. I had faith.
You know, it will be more expensive.
Yeah. That's exactly it. They were, I was spoiled for choice in those segues. It was great. But so it's recently been announced, and Stormy brought this one to my attention, that GTA 5 is getting its next gen upgrade for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. The only problem that I see with it is it's not going to be an upgrade for existing games, the existing version that you've got. You're going to have to buy that again. So it's on special at the moment until the 14th of June in both the PS5 and Xbox shop. So, you'll have to apologize because the figures that I've got are US dollars. I know eventually when it's going to be released, it's going to be 60 Australian dollars, which is a lot of money for a game that's been out as long as this one has. But at the moment on the PS5, it's 75% off at $9.99 US. And that's for the story and GTA Online. And on the Xbox Series X and S, the story is going for $19.99 and GTA Online is going at $9.99. But after the 14th, on both Xbox and PlayStation, it's going to be $39.95 US for the story and $19.99 for online. So it's, look, I don't mind paying that money if you're getting something extra. Like if someone came to me and say you're paying 10, 15 bucks and you can upgrade the game that you got to these latest graphics, I'd be cool. I'm happy with that. I don't mind that because surely there's been a bit of work that's gone into this to do it. But then you have to buy it again and it's $60 when it comes out. That's I don't know. I'm done. Like not that I play GTA 5 but or that I ever really have, but it's just like, you're just squeezing us now.
Dormat says, it's alarming it was called expanded and enhanced from the initial trailer. Then they have reportedly dropped that title for these new gen upgrade versions. I understand like kind of what Straight said about obviously there's going to be a lot of work that has gone into this upgrade and stuff like that. And I guess we were chatting just before we went live about, you know, I guess Horizon Forbidden West, that's Sony's last game that's being given a free PS5 upgrade. I think there was some discussion earlier about Gran Turismo and stuff as well. But yeah, I don't know. Like GTA has been out for such a long time now.
Yeah, mate, 9 years, almost 10 years. Yeah.
And then I was seeing in like a post that was reporting this, like people were like, oh my God, I'm buying GTA for the, you know, third, fourth time, you know, now. And it's just, it's incredible. I mean, the game still has such an incredible following and, you know, I mean, I don't know much about it, but I know they have the in-game currency, like the shark cards and stuff as well. And like what Natty's saying, you know, there's a massive, obviously surge of the role-playing community on GTA as well. So it's a little, I don't know. It's and I also think it's interesting they've got an introductory price and then like that jump from, I think you were talking in US dollars.
Yeah.
I think from like 10 US dollars and then it will like jump up after what?
June, to 40. Yeah. So PlayStation at the moment is $10 US for the story and online. And after the June the 14th on PlayStation, it'll be $40 for the game and $20 for online. So
and that's US dollars still, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's US dollars.
I think as long, I don't know. For me, it's like as long as you're getting value out of it, I think they're in their rights to charge. I mean, I know we are. I think like we sort of look at it and go, "Geez, this game's almost 10 years old." However, that being said, it's almost 10 years old because it's still so popular,
mm-hmm.
and they're you know updating content with GTA Online consistently. They're working it well. And you mentioned, you know, it's clearly got a following in the RP community, which is great. But I think the question for me is, if you had a friend of yours who had never played Grand Theft Auto 5, and we're 10 years down the track, and they said, it's $60, should I buy it? My answer would be yes. because I still think at $60, you're getting a banger of a game and a banger of an experience versus what you're probably forking $60 out for a lot of other games at the moment. Like between 60, like even like, you know, comparatively in terms of like what's going to give you a GTA 5 level experience at the moment, we're talking Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, you know, like we're talking those sort of caliber of games, right? So they're games that you're paying $90 to $110 for. If you're somebody fresh into this, you never played Grand Theft Auto 5 for, I think $60, I don't care if it's 10 years down the track, go for it because it's a fucking good game. I think it's a hard one. For an existing player, I mean, I always err on the side that the company owes us nothing other than to provide us a great game, which they have, and so they get to dictate the price. I think, you know, if you can get it for $10, it's so cheap to get the upgrade. But also, if you're a player who's sitting there seriously considering paying $10 to upgrade this game to your next console, then clearly there's a reason for it, right? Like, you're still getting so much enjoyment out of this game. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. I totally get where you guys are coming from. It's a tough one because you kind of feel like, fuck, how many times can you guys keep charging me for a game? God damn it. Well, I suppose the answer is as many times as you're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that consistent, I guess I'm kind of going against what I was saying earlier, but I guess like what both of you said, they've had such a consistent big following. Like, you know, if we just compare it, for example, to Horizon Zero Dawn, obviously that would have been $100 when it came out. I think if you're lucky enough to get it brand new now, I think you might be able to get it for $25 if you can still find a physical copy. Mm. So, you know, I think because like what Pete said, the GTA 5, like I guess especially the online side is still very well supported. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. And we could talk about the upgrade scenario for a lot of games. Like this could be a whole different topic of conversation. But yeah, it's just for me, it was just interesting because as someone who doesn't play GTA but knows it's been out for almost 9 to 10 years, and then seeing people go, oh, but I've paid for this like 2-3 times already. I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I haven't played GTA either. I picked it up free on one of the Epic free games, and I played it for maybe an hour or two and went, yeah, this is all right, but it's not my sort of game, and put it down again and haven't touched it since. But, like, there is that fine line, and, like, again, we spoke a little bit about it before the show, and that with a game that's going that long, you want it to still be supported. So paying an upgrade fee or buying it again, like you say, Pete, 100% if you haven't played this before, $60 is a fair price. Especially for a next-gen title when, like, the PlayStation 5 games are coming out at $125. Like, $60 for a next-gen version of a game is fair. But to me, it just looks like they're milking the cow and trying to extend out how long it can be until they actually release GTA 6.
Answering Natty's question, I wonder how much they charge for the newer versions of Skyrim. There was an anniversary edition that came out, I think it was last year, that anniversary edition on Xbox, on the Xbox store, is almost about $80.
That wasn't upgraded graphics, was it? Or was it just a re-release?
I'm having a look. Going through here. Includes a decade worth of content, plus pre-existing and new content from Creation Club, including quest dungeons. I'm guessing that's some of the modding stuff.
Mm.
And it includes the add-ons of the special edition.
And DLCs as well, so that sounds pretty fair then.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting point of discussion.
It is. But I think that's where we're going to leave it for now, for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us again. Thank you to all the subs. Thank you for the raid, Hordy Chicken. Thank you to Ollie for making another appearance on the podcast. We love seeing you at the end of the show. That's how we know when we need to wrap up.
Time for Papa to get off.
That's it. but thanks. That's it. Thanks, everybody, and we will catch you next time.